Billy, are you already causing problems for Jeff? Well, as I said last Sunday evening, we would pick up again tonight and talking about what a shepherd really is. I know that there was a lot of confusion in the religious world as far as what the term pastor really means. In fact, just the other day, I was started reading a biography on William Tyndale, and it's interesting because in the better part of that, William Tyndale was known, the one known, and the reason why we probably have the word presbyter as elder is because he translated it as elder, as it should be, rather than priest. And of course, as you can imagine, the Catholic Church was upset because they felt that it was referring to priest, and that it was only for the priest. And so they had a contention with William Tyndale's version of the English version of that. But as you read a little bit further at that period of time, about 1500 to the 1600s, there was this idea that when you go to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and you look at the qualifications there of what we know to be this particular office or service to God, being a pastor, an elder, or a deacon, or not a deacon, but an overseer, in that regard, they actually thought a lot of times that it was referring to the minister, not a different thing within the church. And so there was a problem and a misunderstanding in that regard. And so just very quickly, as we begin to talk tonight about one of the qualifications of a shepherd, I first want to just point out that there are three verses in the New Testament that help us understand what this particular function is in the church. And they are these, Ephesians 4 and verse 11, Acts 20 and 28, and 1 Peter 5 and verse 2. And there in the Ephesian account, Paul is actually mentions there the function of an apostle. And so he even talks about that limited role that we know has ceased with the last apostle dying. But nonetheless, during the first century, they had a function in the church and a huge responsibility. And so we read there, he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. We'll get on that tonight a little bit more, but the term pastors and teachers is actually one unit in the Greek. So it really is describing one of their functions as an eldership. But for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ. And then, if you will, we'll go over and read the other place that we find these terms. And again, a lot of this is in the Greek New Testament as well. Acts chapter 20, if you recall with me there, that particular account is my favorite as far as an eldership, because we have Paul at Ephesus speaking to the eldership and calling them. And in this text from verse 17 down to verse 31, he actually uses all three words in the Greek that we have to refer to the same function. There in verse 17, he uses the word presbyteros. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the presbyterios of the church. And so he's talking about elders. But we're going to also read verse 28 through 31, because this gives to us some of the more of the functions of a pastor in the congregation. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. You'll see there the idea of overseer is one that has oversight, has authority, has control, or a bishop. And then you have shepherd, one who tends to the flock there. But let's keep reading, because there's a few other things that Paul mentions here that we're going to use in the lesson. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, take note of this, be on alert, or be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And then, of course, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, we learn the concept of a pastorship or a elders. There's a reason why it's plural, because he actually includes there that he was a fellow elder, pastor, bishop, any one of those terms that we now look at as being the same thing. And another thing that needs to be pointed out is that this function is different from the local preacher. And so we had a congregation in the first century. You had a local preacher, say Timothy. you had your eldership there, like here in Ephesus, of two or three, at least two, but more than two could be possible as well, as far as shepherds who took on this specific role. And so they were to be leaders. And that's an important word that we need to keep in mind as we think about our shepherds here, as we think about Leon, as we think about Bruce, is that they are leaders. And there are specific responsibilities for that. And so keeping those three verses in mind, that kind of helps me remember, kind of keeping all those terms straight so that I understand, if my technology here will work, what it really means to divide those concepts up and understand them. Now, with that in mind, I want us to go to the qualifications passage in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And of course, we're not going to go through all of these tonight, but there is one that I want to make a point of tonight as we think about this, and I don't want this to be just a lesson where we think, okay, well, I'm not a shepherd, so this lesson doesn't apply to me. This is for all of us, and this is for all of us to better understand as a sheep and the relationship there that I need to build with our shepherds here. And so there's some application across the board, no less. And so there in the first two verses we're going to read in 1 Timothy 3, Paul begins to describe some of the qualifications, not all of them, some of them Titus will write to there, but he'll give you a lot of the qualifications of what it takes to really become a bishop or a pastor or a shepherd of the church of God. And so in the New American Standard it says this, it is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer then, and here come the qualifications, right? After the desire, of course, that's mentioned in verse 1. If a man doesn't, and let me point out, I don't want to mess this up, but the word man there does mean only men. It doesn't mean females. The word there is different from anthropos in the Greek. It's a near. And so it's specifically saying only men are to be qualified to function in this particular function of the church. And so there's our authority. That's where we need to remain silent and allow God to tell us this is the people He has chosen. He'll say later on why He did that, because Eve sinned first and not Adam, and she succumbed to sin first and then gave to Adam, and so there's a function there within the role of things, but nonetheless, an overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, and able to teach. And as I'm thinking about this lesson tonight, I'm going to title this, How Do Elders Stay Informed? How do elders stay informed? This is actually a responsibility of the eldership. And it's found there in that particular Greek term that we find there. So what do I mean when I mean that an eldership needs to be informed? Well, the word able to teach, I say a word, but it's really three in the English, but it's actually one in the Greek that's translated as such. And it's didaktikos. And of course, being one word, it means this, simply a skillful teacher, one who's skilled. And so what that means is that you don't need a novice who doesn't know what he's supposed to be studying that he doesn't have a lot of information about. And that's what we're going to be looking at here in just a moment. But the idea is that he needs to be a skillful teacher. And that means he's able to teach. It involves being informed about what is being taught. And so if he were to stand up and begin to preach a lesson, he better be informed on the things he's talking about, whether it be salvation, the church, church discipline, all these subjects we can pull from the Bible. He has to have a great understanding of that if he's going to stand up and present it to the congregation. And so that's part of it. But another thing that's a part of that as well is he has to have the ability, and this is within that one word in the Greek, that he can use wisdom in dealing with different personalities. Now, I know as we look out here that none of us are the same person, right? Even as our spouse. We might start acting a little bit like our spouses because we're married to them, right? And we might become more like them in one way or another, and for better or worse, right, Kelsey? But that's an inside joke only for her and I, but no. But all of us understand that we're all different and we're not all going to act the same. And that's why we all think Billy is just a weird person on this earth that God created. But nonetheless, we understand that we're going to have these personality conflicts. Can an elder work with that? Can they work through that? And the reality, they have to. It's something they may not be perfect at it, but it's something they have to deal with and learn how to deal with these different personalities, because let's face it, we're all sheep in the church and we all are a little bit different. And so that's something that's included in this word. But the word also anticipates that the elder will teach. Will teach. I didn't say could teach. Of course, an elder could teach and should be able to could teach, right? But the idea is that they will teach, and that comes down to really two ways of teaching, privately and publicly. And so this word is saying that it's an anticipation of a qualification of an elder that they are going to teach and that they need to have a desire to teach. And the way they do that is in two ways. They teach in private. For example, if a shepherd was having a problem and needed to go to them and speak to them in private, this would be that opportunity for them to exercise this ability to be skillful in teaching and to be able to take that individual sheep aside and be able to talk to them and encourage them, or if it's something they need to change, then condemn them and rebuke them for a sin in private and to be able to handle that. That's certainly one aspect of this word, being able to teach. But there's also the second part of that, to be able to anticipate that he's going to teach in a public way. And so that would include, as we know, well, we have a few opportunities right here. We have Devos on Wednesday night. We have the Bible class on Wednesday night. We have a Bible class on Sunday morning. And we have two lessons normally on Sunday. And so the anticipation that this pictures here is that the eldership, so Leon and of course Bruce specifically, but certainly we should be thinking about this for all of us, should be able to do that and will do that at some point in time in their life as a shepherd. And I stole this one from Wayne Jackson, but he says this about this word in the Greek. The elder who sees no need to personally teach is lacking in this duty. Now, I'm the preacher here, right? I'm the paid Christian. I know we joke about that, and I'm fine with joking about that. But I believe what he said is accurate. We need to have the elders occasionally teach a Bible class, teach a Devo. That's important for all of us. We need to see a sheep that you are going to do that you are going to guide us, that you have the knowledge. And of course, I think personally, you know, so that we don't have to listen to Jesse all the time because I get tired of listening to him. But I think that's part of it, to keep the leadership role in mind, to keep these men in mind, is, hey, these guys are leading us. They know their word. They want to lead us and guide us by the word of God. And so all of that I just said is included in that one Greek term. And so we need to understand that as Christians. And then we can apply that then as we're going through the lesson, because not all of us are a shepherd tonight. But we really need to apply that then to everyone. As far as our knowledge of God's Word, we need to be able to be informed on what we're talking about. And that includes some pretty important things. And so the first thing that is the most obvious for an elder must be diligent students of God's Word if they're going to be informed. Must be diligent students. Now this applies to all of us, I know. If you go over to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, Peter closes out his great lesson on basically having a desire to know and grow, and to grow in the truth and to grow as a Christian, and that's all based upon my study and my Christian living and how I'm living in my life. And so he closes by saying, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. And so we have that whole letter he summarizes really in that point. Remember early on in chapter 1, he uses specifics that we need to grow in. But we have to grow in knowledge. We have to grow in our understanding of God's Word. And so we have to take the time to study. I know that it is the preacher's responsibility to deliver lessons and things like that, and that certainly is part of the function of a preacher in the local congregation, but that doesn't do away with the fact that every Christian should be studying throughout the week and on a regular basis. And so you can see, although this is geared more toward the concept of fulfilling that ability to be apt or able to teach, to be skillful, that would certainly apply to all of us. And as I said not last Sunday, but the one before, as we're talking about elderships. When we're talking about appointing Bible class teachers, is this not a great characteristic that we need to think about as well? If we think about someone going down there to teach the youth, we need somebody who's a skillful teacher, not someone who's just going to throw a bunch of stuff together at the last minute and hope that it hits somewhere on the board of the child's mind. These are precious children that need to have the knowledge of God's Word. One of the problems I think, And I've talked to many people over the years about this, and I believe it was at Sparta, one of the members had told me, and I'm not going to give their name because he is a good Christian brother, but he says, I don't remember a time where in our classes we simply just studied like a book of the Bible. It was always, well, we're going to go through this book, and I'm not saying that's wrong, by the way, but we're going to go through this book, then we're going to go through this book, then we're going to talk about this psychologist and what they think. We're going to talk about this book, and we'll pull some verses over here from the Bible somewhere in here, and we'll teach you some spiritual truth. And I think that's the problem. We need to be focusing the attention on God's Word, and when we use these tools to help us with that, that's what they should be, tools, and that's it. It shouldn't be only we're going to read this book and let's hardly ever open our Bible and we'll just stick to this text here. I'm not banning all those books. I use them as well in my study, and there's nothing wrong with that. But where's the focus? Are we focused on just, hey, this brother wrote this book and we're going to go straight through it without ever hardly looking at Scripture? Or are we going to focus the study on Bible? That would be part of being a skillful teacher. And so you could see the application here would not just apply to a shepherd of the church, it would apply to every Christian, and more specifically, if we take on a role of study. And so that's where the elders come in and say, look, you're not a skillful teacher, and I have a feeling that it's almost like this. Well, if someone doesn't show up because they can't teach classes, like, okay, who can teach? Who can teach? Go hurry, go do that. That's not what we're supposed to do. If that teacher who's skillful doesn't show up, and there's not a person who's apt to teach, you don't need to just start having the class just because the teacher didn't show up. And so that's a problem, I think, that the church faces. Not here. I've seen it, I think, in multiple congregations. So I'm not just saying here or anything like that. But so we need to keep that in mind. And that'll help for the preparation of the young mind in congregations. So 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 is certainly important. I have a couple questions here. How can they be on guard, shepherds, against false teachers if they do not know them? If they don't have the information, if they don't study about these things. Remember what we said in Acts chapter 20 and 28 through 31. Paul there warned about the grievous wolves that would come in. But how would a shepherd be able to fulfill that responsibility of recognizing that without a deep understanding of God's Word and without a vast knowledge of what God's Word actually says? And so when I get up here and speak, I would hope that Leon and Bruce know a lot more than I do about Scripture. At least that's my mentality. They should know more than me because they're the shepherds. And so that's the way I see it. And that should be the case, really. Because what if I do say something and it's wrong? I would certainly want to be corrected so that I'm not misspeaking from God's Word. And so you could see the issue there of being informed takes on the responsibility of, once again, that simple lesson for us all. We just need to study. Another question, how can they prove all things? Remember what 1 Thessalonians 5:21? Well, how could a shepherd do that? How could a Christian do that? How do we test the spirits? 1 John 4 and verse 1 there, the difference in the truth and error. And then ultimately, Jude 3 tells us that we are to contend earnestly for the faith, the gospel faith that's been delivered. How could we do that without a proper aptness to teach, without the ability and skillful mind that, hey, I can present the gospel to someone who's lost? You see, this all ties in, and we've had lessons on that, of course, over the past year and a half on how to try to evangelize and to be evangelistic and to help equip ourselves for the knowledge to be able to do that without relying upon the preacher or shepherd. But at the same time, if there's needing help with that, of course, Christians who might be skillful in that or have a little bit better natural ability, we might say, then certainly they could assist in that. But we could see the importance then of a simple thing called study. Now, in this thing that I read in preventing problems within the congregation locally and keeping wolves and things out, study is kind of like this. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of what? A cure, right? It's the old proverb. An ounce of prevention, if I'm studying and doing this and preparing, then if I'm well informed, when these issues start happening in a local congregation, maybe it's a wolf trying to bring a doctrine in, if I am well prepared and able to take those preventatives, then when it happens, it's a lot easier to deal with than if I'm just completely thrown off guard by not being prepared. So a couple things I want to recommend, and these are not based specifically in Scripture, of course, but nonetheless are still valuable. The first thing is that one of the things that will help a shepherd and a Christian become a skillful teacher is very simple. Read good, sound books and journals. Now, I'm not excluding the Bible, of course. We need to study the Bible with my point I just said. But this here is actually a good example. We can go to the back and we have some things back there to look at. We have apologetics press material. And this is keeping us informed on really what's going on in the world with science, with all the crazy things with evolution and the false ideas there. And so these things help us stay informed as Christians, because ultimately, what's going to happen? If we're not aware of what's happening in the world and with science and all these places, it's going to come up on us and ruin us as a Christian. Because eventually it's going to come down to Berryville, Arkansas, and it's going to be here, and then we're presented with it. And so we have to take that preventative care, so to speak. And so we have publications in our own brotherhood that we are well aware of. Apologetics Press is one. Spiritual Sword. Old debate books, which I enjoy reading because it's interesting to see these men of faith standing up for the truth. Christian Courier Online. And I know there's a host of others that we could name, but those are just a few. For example, that are sound that you could rely on. Say, hey, this guy's saying just what the Bible says, and he's not going to twist it so that I have any error in my understanding. But a specific book that I believe that every elder should read, and yes, this is excluded just for Bruce and Leon, but every Christian should read it as well, and it's called Piloting the Straight by Dave Miller. I actually think there's a copy downstairs in the library. I have one at home, but that is invaluable for a shepherd's understanding and knowledge, because it covers, from in the early 90s when it was published, it covers so many different things that affect the church, from female leadership to instruments of music, to questioning the authority of an elder. I mean, it's a lengthy book, don't get me wrong, but there is so much there to get from that book that helps you and I see the things that have been happening for several decades now against the church. And so if I was to recommend one book to buy and to read, it would be that one book, and I love it. And I wish I could let you borrow it, but it's not for borrowing purposes. No, I'm kidding. So Piloting the Straight, that's one I'd recommend. So anyway, another thing that I think we need to think about here as far as the role and responsibility of a shepherd is to know, and this is a difficult one, I know, to know what is going on in the local congregation. That just sounds too difficult for the elders to do, right? Of course, I'm kind of joking there, but they need to know what's going on in our lives. The shepherds need to have that personal relationship with all of us, really. To be able to talk to us. Maybe it's on both of us to make sure we have that line of communication open. And again, I know I've said it in the lesson already tonight, but if I have a genuine problem, and maybe it's not something with sin, it's something personal that I don't want people to talk about, but maybe I should feel comfortable in going to the shepherd. That's the kind of relationship that we need to have. And obviously it comes from the sheep and the shepherd helping in that regard. But can we talk to them? Do they know what's going on in my life? Okay. Are they going to? Do I have a problem? Maybe it's that I have an issue with another Christian, and maybe I'm afraid to bring that up. Can I talk to you about this? You know, with this particular Christian, and then they can investigate. We might say, if that's a good term to use, I don't know. But let's see what's going on here, so we can figure this out to make sure this sheep is doing all right, and it's not going to cause any problems with this sheep. And you could see it happen in your mind there. So they got to be able to listen to complaints, unfortunately, and that's part of, I think, being a shepherd. Complaints of maybe an issue going on, or even hearing great things like commendations, like this brother did this, and you know, hearing things. It could work both ways, as you could tell. But anyway, the whole point is that the shepherd really needs to be there for each Christian in the congregation. And again, when something's wrong, and I believe that this is part of it. I don't know if anyone agrees with me, but if you see people that have not come here, I know it's a responsibility for every Christian to say, hey, you know, we need to call that brother or sister. We didn't see her this Sunday. Maybe there's something wrong that we could help her with. And again, I don't want that to be the idea of a policeman, but we do need to genuinely show we care. And I think there's a difference. When you actually care about a fellow sheep, that's what you'll do. And I think even more so for the shepherds of the church. Are they taking head counts? Because I think that's the point of the one that's lost and going and getting him back into the fold, is that, hey, I took a sheep count. That sheep was not here. I'm going to go see if I can bring him back. And so there's that idea, too, of a responsibility there. So the important thing in all these things, I think, in the personal affairs of each sheep and in the shepherd's life and in the congregation as a whole, is just to be informed. And unfortunately, I think that even applies to at least having a general understanding of the garbage on Facebook within the brotherhood, because there's so much in the last 20 years, I don't know if Facebook's been out 20 years, but let's include the 20 years anyway, not quite. But so many arguments on there about what's happening at this local congregation, and then what's happening over here, and then that old haunted question of, well, what do you think about this doctrinal thing? And it's like, well, what does it matter what I think? And I've seen brethren argue on Facebook about issues, and it's like, why are we doing this? I'm not saying Leon and Bruce need to go get a Facebook page and start watching every Christian. That's not what I'm suggesting. But at least be aware of that's how Satan is trying to attack the church today, is through Facebook. And that's what's happening in a lot of ways, to try to cause division. And so again, there's a lot of responsibility there. It's just about being informed. And I think if we look at that qualification for a shepherd, of course it applies to all of us, but I think more so because it's that qualification to say, hey, are you a man of God that's going to be willing to do this, to be willing to be interested in standing up and teaching publicly and privately, to care about your flock, all that is included in being apt to teach. And so that's the thought for tonight. I hope that helps you in your understanding of what a shepherd is. I know that's not the only lesson we can have, but I hope that'll give you some things to think about. I do offer the invitation at this time. Being a child of God, we know that the blood of Jesus continues to wash away our sin as we walk in the light. And if we walk in the light, we have that blood continue to cleanse us. And a part of that is when we do sin, we have sin in our lives, we come to God and confess that in prayer and ask Him to forgive us, turn away from that sin and continue on our way. And of course, God will be faithful to forgive us of that unrighteousness. And so if there's any need this evening, please come to the front while we stand and praise God together. Upon your